Well, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9, please. The book of Isaiah chapter 9, this wonderful title. And I just want to leave a few thoughts with you tonight. And it's in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born." The child is born, that's his humanity. "Unto us a son is given," that's his deity. The son wasn't born, he already was alive, the God the Son. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we look just at some thoughts from this wonderful, wonderful passage, we pray that thou would prepare us for the incoming year with confidence in thee. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that thou would even cause us to see more wonderful things about him. In our Saviour's name, we'd ask it. Amen. You know, some centuries ago, it was the custom to give gifts not on Christmas Day, but on New Year's Day. You may remember the story of the godly bishop, Hugh Latimer, who later on was burnt at the stake for his Protestant faith, along with other godly bishops. But Hugh Latimer, the wonderful story of his courage is that on New Year's Day, he presented King Henry with a Bible. And he had the Bible marked. And you know where he had it marked to? "Adulterers God will judge." That took some courage to Henry VIII, didn't it? My, what a courageous servant of God Hugh Latimer was. Tremendous man of God. But it just points out the custom was to give gifts at New Year's Day. We don't follow that custom today, but that's what they did back then. And as I think of the incoming year, we're leaving this year, 2017. Praise the Lord, he has given us a wonderful gift. He has given us something that we need, something that will meet all our needs for the incoming year. In fact, it's not something, it's someone. The one described here in Isaiah 9 and 6 by these wonderful names. Someone has estimated our Savior has 250 names. Each of those titles, these are really titles of Christ, but each of these titles describe some of his tremendous characteristics. There's a term in English called an aptonym. Aptonym. If you're wondering what an aptonym is, well, the first part of the word is from apt, something that is apt. In other words, it describes it. Some of them are quite humorous. Some of them aren't. But what it means is, if someone has a name, and that name, by a strange quirk of fate, we would say, describes what they do. There used to be a footballer called Alan Ball, and he played with a football. He had a good name. This was called an aptonym. Some of them are very good. There was a Colin Bass, or Bass, B-A-S-S, and he played bass. You know, that was a good title for him. Sarah Blizzard was the weather newsreader. Margaret Court, of course, you know Margaret Court. She professes to be a Christian, actually. In America, she's come under a lot of criticism for opposing abortion and the so-called marriage equality, which, of course, isn't marriage and it's not equal. And she came under terrible, they wanted to take all kinds of things from her in America, Australia, honours had given her for her. But Margaret Court played tennis on a court. Do you not see what the play on words, if you like? There was another American meteorologist, Amy Fries. Thought that was a funny one. Francine Prose was a writer. Of course, we know the poet William Wordsworth. And he wrote words, of course. I like this one about a dentist, Dr. Pullen, P-U-L-L-E-N. These are not made up, by the way. I'm not making these up. I know sometimes you get jokes making up names like that, but these are actually right. And I know it's hard to believe, but they are right. Sonia Shears, you know what she was, of course, hairdresser. Helen Painter was an artist. Well, I'll just give you one more of others written down here. Scott Constable. What profession did he go into? Policeman. Those are what calls aptonyms. And a more serious note, John Bunyan was a great expert at that. If you know Pilgrim's Progress, think of the characters that he gave them names. Mr. Ready to Halt. Mr. Worldly Wise Man. And the name, what that term means in English is aptonym. The name or title of the person, it signifies their character. And Bunyan was great at that. Mr. Fearing and so on. And Mr. Valiant for Truth, isn't that another one? And he gave them, that was of course made up names, but can you not see the character that comes out? Well, in a reverent way, I thought, these names of Christ, they're aptonyms, they're titles that set forth his character. Let me go through them very quickly. We looked at Wonderful in detail a few weeks ago. Wonderful, you know, that takes care of the dullness of life. You know, a lot of people are bored. A lot of people in Newton Hours, they just get up tomorrow. Well, tomorrow they'll probably not go to work, but the next day, and they come home and maybe just watch TV all day or do something the next day. Life's just a boring routine. There's no joy. There's no purpose to life. There's no meaning to life. It's completely meaningless. And we saw that the word wonderful has the connotation of something that's marvelous, miraculous. And surely when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, this is telling us when God sent Jesus Christ into this world, God the Son given, the baby born his humanity, and God the Son took into union with himself a human body and nature, and we can know him as Savior and Lord. Remember, unto us, he's given to us. And when you know Christ in your life, you know the one who is miraculous, the one who can do wonders in your life. And as you get to know more and more about him, my, isn't there a hymn, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, you know, in 2018, we don't know what's going to happen, but if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he can be sweet to you in the incoming year. He can be wonderful to you. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Look at the next title. We hadn't dealt with this. The Counselor. My, that takes care of the decisions of life. I know one thing in 2018, you'll have difficult decisions to make. You'll have difficult decisions to make. We all have to make them. I know I joke sometimes at weddings about the man and wife married and going down the aisle. The man said to his wife, now listen, dear, you can make some decisions, but I'll make all the major decisions in this house. They're married 50 years and no major decisions had come up yet. But we all will make decisions where we work, where we go, maybe major decisions over health problems. Doctors can sometimes give decisions. Some people I know in that situation. We can either give you more treatment, we can give you this, or we can make your decisions. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is the Counselor. He's the Counselor. When you know Christ, he guides. He knows the way. I know not the future. I know not what lies ahead. But I know who holds the future. And everything by him is planned. He's the Counselor. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. You see, we're told in Psalm 1 to watch out, stay away. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And you know, the world will give us lots of counsel. And society will, and the media will, and unbelieving friends will, and maybe backslidden Christians can give us all kinds of counsel. But you need the counsel of the Lord. For remember, it says in Isaiah, no one has been his counselor. Oh yeah, I'm not going to preach a whole message on the counselor, but it's a wonderful subject. You see, the one who's given to us, he was the counselor before this world was created. You say, what am I talking about? Well, there are passages in Scripture that tell us. Now, it's not as clear as obviously we'd like, but there are indications in Scripture that in eternity past, and even that's just can't understand it, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit counseled among themselves. And it wasn't because they didn't know what to do or that any lack of decisions. No, it can't be that because God in three persons. Ask me to explain that. I can't. Someone was telling me recently, John Lennox, originally from Armagh, grew up there, one of the top professors of mathematics, in, I think, Cambridge or Oxford, one of the two, who has debated Dawkins on various occasions. He's a great champion for creationism and that the existence of God. He was asked at one of his question panels, somebody said, oh, you say there's a Trinity, can you explain it? He said, no, can you explain energy? Oh, but energy does this and energy powers carnage. No, I didn't ask you to tell me what it does. Can you explain what energy is? Can you explain what conscience is? Oh, well, I can't explain the Trinity, but I believe it, because the Bible teaches it. What was the counsel about? He's the counsel. Creation. That's easy proved. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. Now, God is one, but he's one in three persons. And there's a council before this world was created. Let us make man in our image. Providence. There's verses in Scripture and our catechism and confession talk about the decrees of God, which God hath before ordained. Christians, God has laid out a path for you in 2018. Good works. Ephesians 2 and 10. You remember that verse? For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But go on. Go on to the next verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Listen. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Isn't that amazing? There's other verses I could go to prove that. Even before this world created, God has a plan. Counselor, he has a plan. It's amazing. And of course, our salvation in the councils of eternity, the Trinity counseled about our salvation, that God the Father would make a covenant with God the Son, and God the Son would represent his people and live that righteous life, then that die that death for their sins and rise again, and that he would do all that was necessary to save. That was done in eternity. Now, it's a mystery to us. But all I can say is the Bible teaches it. It's mysterious, isn't it? That he was the counselor even before this world was created. And the Godhead counseled about you, believer. Of course, he's the counselor that tells us what God decided, isn't he? He's the messenger of the covenant. But then he's the counselor to us. I have to hurry on. It's a wonderful study. The counselor, he's a counselor to us. My, how he taught when he was here upon this earth. He's able to give an accurate diagnosis. Isn't that what you want with a counselor? I mean, you don't want to go to a doctor and say, what have you got? Well, I've got this and that. Oh, have you ever had it before? Well, you've got it again. No, you want the doctor to say, this is what it is. I know what it is. He always gives an accurate diagnosis of the case. And he always gives the appropriate prescription what to do. And thank God there's always the amazing results. He's a counselor. It's wonderful this. You can go to him. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And now that you're saved, you're born again, you can go to him with your problems. While other problems, other people in 2018, when a decision comes up and there's that difficulty and that problem, where will they run to? Some will run to the bottle or the drugs. And this is why with Chris Killen going round and the doors, let me remind you, I don't know if there's any evangelical times left in the hall, but some this morning. It has the life story of Chris Killen. And been saved from the drugs, and now he's going to do those days. He's already been doing days. Because there are a lot of people that don't know the Lord, and they'll turn to drugs. They'll turn to fortune-telling or horoscopes. What an abomination. Those things are an abomination. Because it's saying that God doesn't know how to lead us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the prophet. He can reveal all that we need to know about the future. You don't run to horoscopes and these things. It's a rejection of Christ. Why, we don't even run to our own heart. For Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. But Christian, isn't it wonderful to know in 2018, when you have decisions to make, and you'll have them, the Lord can be your counselor. What about the next one, the mighty God? The mighty God. Ah, that will meet all the demands of life. Counselor, he has the plan for us. Mighty God, he can give us the power to carry out those plans. He fulfills his plans. That word, mighty God, I think of it means powerful or strong one or victor. Psalm 24, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He fulfills his plans. Anything that he counsels to do, we worship him. He's fighting our battles. That's what it means. A warrior can be translated that way. That's what the word mighty. He's the warrior. And as we go into 2018, for everyone here tonight who knows Christ, we trust you all know Christ as Savior. If you don't, you're going into this new year as a step in the dark. It's a step into the unknown and the dark. You have no one with you. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been given the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's in you and he's with you. And he's your warrior. That's what that mighty God means. He'll fight for you. He'll perfect all concerning you and he can meet whatever demand comes on you. It's like that verse that Paul put, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, Paul said, I can endure whatever God brings into my life. Whatever God brings into my life and your life, Christian, in 2018, Isaiah 9 and 6, listen, Jesus Christ is the mighty God, the warrior, the one who can't be conquered, and he can enable you to meet whatever demands 2018 brings. The everlasting Father, well, that might be a difficult one, isn't it? I can only touch on it. Some right away will say, well, listen, if he's God the Son, how can he be the Father? That doesn't seem to make sense, does it? Well, it does make sense, because he's not God the Father, of course not. But Father-like he tends and spurs us. The word Father can be used in the Bible and in society for the author or originator. If you go back to Genesis 4, you'll read about Tubal and Jubal and all that. It talks about the one who's the father of all the musicians. Isn't that right? All that play the organ and that. What does it mean? It means that he was the originator. He was the originator. We talk that way about the Father. He originated. If you were an American, you'd say, who is the father of America and all the school children? George Washington. Does it mean every American's descended from George Washington? No, it doesn't. It means he is the originator. Who's the father of nursing? Well, that's a trick one. Who's the mother of nursing? Florence Nightingale. Well, you know what I mean? Father or mother of something means they're the originator. They're the founder. He's the founder, the originator, the author of eternity. He is eternal. He is eternal. He never changes. He's Jehovah. I am the Lord. I change not. When he died at Calvary, the disciples were upset. They thought he had gone, but he rose again in the power of an endless life. The power of an endless life. And you see, what does this show me? It shows me that he'll never cease. My salvation is forever. And the one who is my counselor, the one who is the warrior, the mighty God who'll help me meet the demands of life, he's the one who assures my destiny. You see, in 2018, when you know Christ as Savior, your destiny is secure in Christ. He'll be like a father to you. He'll pardon you. He'll protect you. He'll provide for you. And right on into eternity. That's the amazing thing. The amazing thing. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. We touched on that last week. What does that mean? He'll take care of the disturbances of life. There'll be things happen in 2018, if it's like the years I've lived before and you've lived. You know, there'll be things happen and immediately the panic will be disturbed. There's things happen that will disturb us. News, bereavements, serious illness. There'll be that panic, disturbances. But because he's the Prince of Peace, he takes care of all the disturbances in my life. He can bring peace. We spoke on this last week, so just very briefly. The word prince doesn't mean in the sense of king and prince. Because he already is the king of peace, Melchizedek's king of Salem. The word prince actually is a word that means he's the general. That's how the word's used in other portions as well. A leader. In other words, he's the conqueror. And whatever the disturbance in our life is, he can come and speak peace to our soul. Didn't he do it when he was here in the flesh? When the disciples were afraid in the boat? In the daytime, he stood up and just spoke to the wind and the waves. And they ceased. Another occasion, he wasn't with them, but he was praying for them, and he came walking. Peace. Peace. What a wonderful, wonderful New Year's gift we've been given. God has given us a wonderful New Year's gift, Christ. Unto you. Unto you. Do you know him? Can you say, it's unto me? I've received this gift. I've received Christ as my Savior. Can you truthfully say that tonight? Have you received him? To as many as received him. To them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. John 1 verse 12. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. Some people get troubled. Am I really saved? Did I really believe right? And Satan will rub it in. Well, did you receive Christ? Have you asked him into your life? Have you acknowledged him as Savior and Lord? Well, then you've believed. Because believe and receive are just different terms for the same thing. Do you know him? Do you know Christ? What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Counselor he is. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. What a great gift of the person of Christ we have for 2018. Now, people will be celebrating tonight. We decided not to, because of the being a Lord's Day and everything, we're not having the normal thing we'd have at 12 o'clock tonight. But wherever you are, you might be fast asleep or whatever. But there'll be people tonight and they'll be partying. And nothing wrong to get together and have fun, but if it's sinful partying. And some will waken up tomorrow and say, boy, we must have had a great New Year's night because I can't remember a thing about it. And you go, what's wrong with those people? Now, right, there'll be people say that tomorrow. It must have been a great night because, boy, I have one hangover in my head. It must have been a great night and they can't remember a thing about it. And if they're waking up tomorrow and they think of the year ahead, they're without God, without Christ, without hope. But isn't it wonderful tonight we can go home from God's house this last Lord's Day evening of this year and we can say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. And as 2018 comes, you will take the dullness out of my life. I'll have something to live for, Christ. Lord, those decisions in life, you'll be my counselor. Those demands that problems in life put on me, Lord, you're able to meet them. Because you're the mighty God. You're the everlasting Father. My destiny is secure. You'll still be my Father in the sense of caring like a loving Father, taking care of me. And when the disturbances come, Lord, you'll be my peace. If you're saved tonight, thank God. Thank God for his goodness over the past year and praise him for what lies ahead.